This episode is sponsored by the winningest shell in the history of sporting clays and Fetask history, Game Boar Shot Shells. No other brand has won more world championships. White Gold and Dark Storm contain precision-made diamond shot that is graded 5 times for consistency and has high-performance smooth velocities, providing less felt recoil. You put in the work. Now load up with the best. Why trust anything else? Available throughout the U.S. exclusively from KL Ammo. Find them online at www.GameBoreUS.com. Game Boar are simply the champion's choice.
Hey, clay shooters. It's that time again.
These guys aren't just anybody. They're good.
It's time for the Dead Pair Podcast with Jason Rambo.
Does your brain hear what your mouth is saying?
And Sean Alley.
He's large and in charge.
Here to bring you all things sporting clays, from the ins and outs, tips and tricks, news and gossip from pro shooters, service and industry specialists, coaches, clubs, and more.
Often imitated, never duplicated.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
Welcome, everyone, to the Dead Pair Podcast.
What do you think, Sean? Is it starting to grow on you yet?
I like the new intro. I mean, it's fresh, it's upbeat, it's high energy. I like it.
Well, yeah, but we need your brother to...
Yeah, we're working on something custom here. I just got to work around his schedule and all that fun stuff. And, we'll get it. This will ride out for a little while, as they say.
All right. What's up, everyone? Well, welcome back. And we have a really cool show lined up.
Absolutely.
We have...
Andrew Wurtenberger. He's a gunsmith from Caesar Guarini.
And
Grace Callahan, yeah. Who's a shooter for Caesar Guarini and Siren.
Yes. So this is yet another gun manufacturer we're bringing to everyone. Again, we want everyone to make an informed and educated decision before they make that big purchase. So,
yeah. And we see a lot of guys and gals shooting the Caesar Guarinis and the Sirens. And they're definitely pretty guns, really nice looking guns. So hopefully this will be informative for anybody that's, you know, looking to maybe go that way with a shotgun. Well,
John Woolley.
Yeah. John Woolley
shoots an M-spec.
Yeah, he does. He does. So yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah. And we're not going to stop here. Okay. We've still got a couple more to go, of the big competition gun manufacturers.
Right.
And, we're going to keep going with this because it is a lot of money. And we don't want you making a decision that you may regret later. Sean and I have made those types of decisions, and oh boy, did we ever regret that, you know? So, but what I'm getting at is, hopefully you'll use these podcasts. You know, go back and listen to the one we do with Zoli, Kohler, Blazer, mm-hmm. Beretta, and now Caesar Guarini, and we've got Krieghoff and Perazzi are coming. Bear with us, patience, Grasshopper.
Yeah, you talking about patience, man. Wow, okay.
I pray every day for patience, but I want them right now.
I got nothing.
All right, well, what do you say we get right to Grace?
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's call her. Let's hear what she has to say. She's always fun to talk to.
Real quick commercial break, and then we are going to be graced with their presence.
Oh, boy.
Rhino Chokes and Shooting Sports introduces the Elite GP30 coating in their Gen 1, Gen 2, and its standard finish on their Elite Series chokes.
Not to mention lengthening and polishing of forcing cones to significantly reduce recoil, barrel porting to control muzzle rise, plus butt pads and recoil suppression systems to keep you fresher longer. Hey, these guys do it all. Corey, what do you think?
Hey guys, this is Corey Cruz, 2019 World Sporting Clays Champion. When you're ready to hit clay targets harder, give the guys at Rhino Chokes a call.
American-made Atlas traps are made right here in Kansas and feature the finest quality, innovation, and support in the business. Atlas traps are made using aircraft-quality aluminum and stainless steel to ensure your traps will outlast the competition.
So whether you're an individual needing a private trap for practice and recreation, or a club needing to outfit your entire facility, family-owned and operated Atlas Traps can suit all your needs.
Visit atlastraps.com to see the full line of commercial and recreational traps and accessories. With prices that won't make you see red and quality that won't leave you feeling blue, Atlas has the finest equipment available.
It's all about humanity.
It's time to react like never before. For the first time ever, RE Ranger used artificial intelligence to test and optimize 1 billion different lens variations. It's time to see the sport in a way no one else has with React AI. Available now in frame kits, lens kits, and our most popular lens shapes. For more information, please visit reranger.com. All right, on the phone, joining us right now, we have Grace Callahan and Andrew Wurtenberger from Caesar Guarini. How are you guys doing this evening?
Good, thanks for having us.
Well, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you. Jason, you want to lead off? Or
Let's dive right in. I want to hear from each one of you on this question, but let's start with Andrew. This is a question we ask all the shotgun manufacturers. Let's say someone's done well for themselves or they saved up their pennies and dimes and they want to buy their first high-end competition shotgun. As both of you know, when you go to a big shoot, all the vendors are there. You've got, you know, Kohler, Krieghoff, Caesar Guarini, Zoli. What's going to make someone want to come into your booth and buy a Caesar Guarini over any other shotgun?
Valid question. And the first thing I would say, which may not necessarily fall into an expected line, but one should always choose a shotgun based on how it feels for them. Obviously, life's too short to shoot an ugly gun, but if you're looking to buy a new gun, it should start with whether the handling characteristics are ideal for you. And, you know, I feel like we cover that base for pretty much everybody in one form or another, but that's the first and foremost thing. The second thing would be, I would say you're really going to be hard pressed to find a better value anywhere than a Caesar Guarini. What you get for, you know, the gun itself, its durability, its handling capabilities, its, you know, beauty, you're really going to have a hard time finding anything that, in my opinion, have the same value to you. What you get for what you pay.
I gotcha. Grace, let's hear from a shooter standpoint. You're someone that shoots both the Caesar Guarini and the Siren, which is specifically a ladies' gun. We'll dive into that here in a minute. But what's your take on that? How would you answer that question?
Well, in addition to everything Andrew just said, which was spot on, I find being as personable as possible, like in the booth, like not just talking to people that shoot Siren or just shoot Caesar Guarini, kind of being welcoming and having an open arms was like a really big deal for me. And when I had been obviously shooting a different gun, they had no problem coming up to me. Hey, how's it going? How are you? And that plays a huge role in my eyes, just like not even from a shooting perspective, just like from a human's perspective. They just like are very accommodating in all aspects. They're just so willing to work with you in any way. They never made me feel stupid if I asked any questions. Everything was always broken down to me. And I couldn't have found better people with a better gun.
Well, Grace, now you're speaking with a little bit of bias there, because I can tell you from somebody that's texted and talked to a lot of big name shooters, you are by far the most fun. I think somebody could kick you in the butt and you would still giggle and make a joke about it.
Okay, I won't disagree.
but that's very, very well said what you said about Caesar Guarini. I think that's very helpful when people feel like they're welcomed in the booth. You know what I mean?
100%.
Gotcha. Hey, Andrew, I got a question for you, and you don't have to talk numbers or anything, but I'm curious. What do you feel is the most popular sporting gun that you shoot, like whether it's the platform or the model name? And then also, would you give us your input on the popularity of like a flat rib versus a mid or a high rib? Do you see more people buying one versus the other?
Right. Well, just to make sure I'm understanding the question, like what's our most popular model is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Today,
so what do you think you guys sell the most of as far as your sporting clays guns? And then on top of that, out of that gun do you see most people buying, a flat rib, mid rib, or a high rib?
Sure. I am a gunsmith and not a marketing guy, so I don't really have the numbers as far as what sells the most. But what I can tell you, which will reflect on that, is the guns I see most frequently in for our pit stop program, for example. Tend to be Summits. Summit in multiple different configurations. I would say Summit Sporting is probably the most popular, which is a flat rib sporting, traditional sporting style gun.
Mm-hmm.
But we make the Summit in other models such as the Ascent or the Impact or the Trap, all three of which are different rib heights. So the variations in configuration are going to be more driven by the game the shooter is playing. And so I would say that Sporting Clays is by far the most popular game. Trap surely is a close second. Skeet's a little maybe less attended from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And so the high rib trap gun in a Summit version is definitely a very popular model among our owners, or our people, if you will. The Summit Sporting is probably the most popular as far as the guns I see regularly that are in here for the maintenance program, which is indicative of how many there are in the world, right?
Okay. So
I don't know if that exactly answers your question, but
no, that's good. And I was just going to follow that up with, so if the Summit is your most popular, do you have any idea why you think that is?
Well, I would imagine on some level it comes down to economics, and that's something important to understand about our gun, is that when we go from a Summit to a Maxim or other models within the line, the mechanics of the gun really remain the same. The difference is the aesthetics, the engraving, how much canvas there is for the engraver, the grade of the wood, those kinds of things. So we're a little bit different than a lot of other companies in that regard. The beauty of the mechanism being really kind of one mechanism across all platforms is it is a very tried, true, reliable system. So I think the Summit may be the more popular really just because of price point.
Gotcha. And then I wanted to ask, maybe we should have started off with this. Can you give us a little bit of background on the company of Caesar Greeny and Siren? Like, give us a little bit of history of how everything got started. I don't know if you can elaborate on that or not.
Yeah, I guess we kind of jumped the gun a little bit.
Yeah, I should have started with that one.
yeah, no worries. Well, I'm glad you asked that question, and you may regret it because I love this story.
No. We want to hear it, and our listeners want to hear it too.
So Caesar Greeny is a relatively new company, brand new in the underworld as far as that goes, right? So Giorgio and Antonio Greeny are the brothers Greeny. They worked for their uncle, who is Rizzini, B. Rizzini.
Oh, okay.
And they decided to go out on their own. They also had a relationship with our president, Wes Lang, prior to that. And so they decided to start their own company around 2000, 2001. I may be mistaken on dates, but roughly right around the turn of the century, as they say. So they decided to start Caesar Greeny. Wes became a part of that. And so Caesar Greeny Italy was founded, and then Caesar Greeny USA was directly after. The first guns came into the U.S. around 2002. And something that's important in this story is that Caesar Greeny, we are Caesar Greeny, and we are Fab Arm USA.
Oh, okay.
So around 2009, 2010, the company had grown to the point that our demand had grown. Fab Arm, which is about a 90-year-old company, Italian company, had been making their own guns as well as parts for others over the years. They didn't have anybody sort of to take over the company, so the company became available. Caesar Greeny purchased Fab Arm, and so we now own and operate both companies.
Gotcha.
And so that was sort of a key to bringing in other options as far as autoloaders and other models that Greeny didn't offer directly.
Gotcha.
So it, you know, I guess from my own personal standpoint, like I've been here almost 11 years, and I was aware of the company before I applied for the job, obviously, and knew a little bit about them. And so watching that growth from, you know, two guys in a garage to second largest long gun maker in Italy is kind of a cool art.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
So, Andrew,
and actually on that note, sorry to interrupt real quick, but there was an article written by Vic Ventners called Hail Caesar that really kind of covers that more detailed.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, for sure. So, Andrew, speaking of that, so what barrel lengths, I mean, we went over some of the rib variations that are available, but what, and I'm asking this question because I'm digging for a certain answer. I know I've seen the ad several times. You're pretty specific about your barrels, and I believe it is on the Summit Sporting, that are choked and non-choked. Can you tell us what's available?
Yeah, kind of everything. So, as far as barrel lengths go, we do everything from a 26-inch field model to a 34-inch sporting model or a 34-inch trap model. And I think it's important that the rib, we can kind of talk a little bit about the rib variations and what that means to the actual usefulness to the shooter. But as far as, I think your question is what barrel lengths would be ideal for a shooter? Is that what you're...
Yeah, specifically, you know, okay, first of all, we had John Woolley on here a while back, and he really raved about the 34-inch fixed choke gun and how light the barrels are. And I just saw an ad. It might have been in Clay Target or it might have been in Clay Shooting. I can't remember which one. But that talks about how light those 34-inch fixed choke barrels are. And, in fact, they're even lighter than a 32-inch choked barrel of other manufacturers. Is that...
Sure. One there, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask if that is one of your big sellers.
It is. The 34-inch M-Spec is what we call it, or the 34-inch Specialist, technically. But at any rate, yeah, so the longer barrels, the 34-inch barrel fixed choke is lighter than our 32-inch choked barrel. Hmm. And the big thing about length, right, so most often if a shooter, when a shooter comes to me and they're asking me about what barrel length do I want for what I'm... Some of it's relative to the balance of the gun, right? So if we have a, first of all, a longer barrel is a longer lever. Therefore, it moves a greater distance at the muzzle with less effort at the pivot point. So it sort of speeds up your swing, but doesn't look faster because it's all relative, right?
Right.
So the longer barrel has some advantages there as far as the way it swings and handles. But if you put a longer barrel on the gun and it weighs 12 pounds, suddenly the handling characteristics are terrible. So
right.
It's useless, right? So historically, you kind of have barrel length follow stock length, meaning if you have a shooter that needs a 12-inch length of pull, they probably need something like a 28-inch barrel. But if you have a shooter that needs a 16-inch length of pull, they probably need 34-inch barrels to sort of bring the gun back into balance.
Right.
And we also put a lot of effort into keeping our barrels light on everything we make. You know, most manufacturers use a hammer forging process. They take a slug of steel and hammer it out on a mandrel into a tube. We actually deep hole drill solid bar stock.
Oh wow!
So we're turning more of the material into chips. But the upside is we can get a thinner barrel wall with better elasticity. Like the potential downside to hammer forging is you introduce stress into the steel that you then have to take back out, normalization and other things. So it limits how thin you can make the wall of the barrel. By doing solid bar stock, we're able to maintain a bunch of elasticity in the steel. Therefore, we can make a lighter barrel and keep the weight of the gun as a whole down, as well as keep the balance right.
Gotcha.
Particularly in a longer barrel.
Very interesting. So
yeah, I'll geek out on the tech stuff.
That's what we want to hear.
Yeah,
kind of your job, Andrew.
that's what we're getting ready to dive into here a little bit more. So tell us about the triggers that you guys use on your guns.
Sure. So all of our guns have an inertia trigger.
Okay.
So everything we make has an inertia trigger. It's a tried, true, reliable system. One of the upsides to inertia triggers is you can keep the pull weights down. Oftentimes with a mechanical trigger, you have to make them a little heavier to compensate for other potentials. You know, the most difficult thing for any gun maker in history is making a single trigger that runs two hammer sets.
Right.
And so mechanical triggers tend to be a little bit heavier, but all of our triggers are inertia triggers. All of our target models come with an adjustable trigger in the context of movement of the trigger on the rail so as to allow to fit the hand and the grip better.
Well, I ask because, you know, once you get past gun fit, it seems like that's the first thing that shooters are a snob about is their trigger pulls and the feel of that trigger, if you will.
Sure.
Now, as far as to kind of delve a little bit further, I just want to clarify this. So I know you touched on the different models, and there wasn't really a whole lot of different mechanical differences between your models. Is it just mainly then you're getting into adding expense as far as like the wood and the engraving let's just say the aesthetics of the gun? Is that basically how your models go up as the price increases?
Yeah, that's true. And I want to be clear. So if we're talking 12 gauge target guns, right?
Yeah.
The 12 gauge target gun, the mechanics remain the same throughout, except for the Invictus, which is a whole different platform.
Okay. Can you elaborate a little bit on that one?
Certainly. And so the Invictus is fundamentally different because we've changed the way that the monoblock and the barrels lock to the frame. On a standard gun of a similar design to ours, which is there's myriad out there in the world, right? But the Invictus, what we've done is we've changed around the relationship of where the trunnions and the hinge are on the gun, or how the hinge is assembled, and we've made the system modular, for lack of a better way to say it.
Okay.
You may have seen advertisements billing it as the million round gun, and the thing that makes it that gives us that sort of confidence to call it that is, every hinged gun will eventually come off face. It will wear to the point that it no longer can lock up correctly against the breech face.
Okay.
And on most manufacturers' guns, when that day eventually comes, the most cost-effective way to cure it is to re-barrel it.
Gotcha.
What we've done on the Invictus is by creating a modular part on the inside of the frame where the recoil surface engages, as well as putting the trunnions on the monoblock rather than on the frame. When that day eventually comes, we can change those three parts only, put the barrels back on face, and it's effectively a brand new gun without rebarreling it.
Huh, interesting.
So it's also a larger frame than our standard platform. It's wider even than a Perazzi, and it's so the recoil, the surface area has been increased, which slows the rate of wear as well.
Okay, very cool. And that's pretty much the major differences between that, the Invictus, and the rest of your line, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
But again, on the standard line, Summit through Forum, the mechanics remain consistent gun to gun, and the difference in price point really comes down to how much engraving there is, the grade of the wood, the aesthetic differences.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Well, I want to dive into the Siren for just a minute, and I better ask Grace a question because I'm sure she's over there just chomping at the bit.
I thought I heard her snoring.
No, Andrew teaches me so much every time he talks. I love listening to him teach people.
Well, okay, Grace, let me ask you a couple questions about the Siren if I could. What do you feel as a shooter is the most important feature that sets apart a lady's gun from a standard, like, men's gun, if you would, or what is perceived as a men's gun? What to you is the most important feature? Is it weight? Is it... Go ahead. I'll let you go with it.
Well, right off the bat, probably the major component is just going to be the length of pull. If you can't really, like, reach the trigger or get your face down in the right spot, probably not going to work for you, which the Siren right off the bat takes into consideration. It's going to be somewhere closer to 13 inches, maybe 12 and 3/4 inch length of pull, which now, if you think about it, inevitably is going to make things just slightly lighter because you're taking off about an inch and a half of wood off the back, and wood is heavier than people realize. In addition to that, they do take into consideration our hands are probably going to be smaller than a 5'10", 6-foot dude. So the circumference around the grip is going to be a little bit smaller, which now the reach to the trigger is going to be smaller. And all of that, just when I watch a woman pick up a, let's say, just standard right off the bat, I'm not even going to say a model, we'll just say a standard right off the bat, like regular semi-automatic, compared to, let's say, like the Siren L4S, they just go like, whoa, Because now, in addition to that little bit shorter, the grip being nice, they have a Monte Carlo stock. So our higher cheekbones are taken into consideration. Like, they couldn't have taken more things into consideration when they're thinking about the female anatomy. So I can't even just say one thing. I want to say one thing, which leads to another. So they took everything into consideration, which not everybody did, unfortunately, when they thought about a lady's gun. They just thought, chop it shorter and they'll be good to go.
Well, let's get into that a little bit, Grace. So aside from the stock dimensions, give me another specific feature that's on that siren that makes it ideal platform for a lady shooter, other than the stock. What else is it that you feel makes it just awesome for you girls?
Well, they don't overcompensate for anything else. That's what I love, is now it's just regular gun from here on out. You don't need to have a lighter barrel just because you're a girl. It's not like you can't handle it. You don't need to have a shorter barrel. Everything is basically the same that Andrew just described, aside from accommodating the female anatomy fit.
Gotcha.
And
so they're not thinking that you can't take a heavier gun. It's a little bit lighter of a gun inevitably because everything is going to be proportionately smaller, but they don't make anything internally smaller for the female because they quote unquote don't think we can handle it.
Gotcha. Andrew, let me ask this. So when you take all that weight off the back and you've got inevitably a smaller stock in the back, how do you counterbalance that so that the front end of the gun doesn't feel like you got a car battery hanging off of it? I mean, you know what I mean? How do you put that balance back in there?
Sure.
For the ladies.
Sure. Understood. Well, and one of the things that happens right off the bat is with the siren stock being a Monte Carlo, now the stock is taller overall and there's a few ounces added back into it just by virtue of the height of the stock.
Okay.
Additionally, like let's say, for example, we have a shooter and they need the gun shorter than even off the shelf. We have mechanisms like our kinetic balancer that mounts directly into the buttstock. It's an off-the-shelf drop-in kind of part. And that even that fits any of our target models. But in a case where we have a very short stock and a longer barrel, we may need to adjust the balance for the shooter's preferences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an off-the-shelf drop-in part that will do so. Additionally, it's got a series of weights on it that you can add and subtract and sort of fine-tune the balance to your preference.
Gotcha. Grace, I want to ask you a question, and this comes up all the time. So a lady, a girl, a woman goes out. They...
Three separate females?
Well, no, just, I mean, a potential female shooter. Let's use that terminology.
Okay. I thought he was going to go with, like, so a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead walking into a bar. You know.
Family-friendly show here. What I'm trying to get at is, okay, so a lady is invited out to shoot sporting clays for the very first time, okay? And okay. A friend, father, brother, whatever, takes them out. They love it. They want to get involved with the sport. In your opinion, would you suggest that they immediately go look at a lady's gun like a siren, or should they start somewhere else, like with a more basic gun to see if that's what's going to work for them?
That's a kind of a loaded question because it's pretty much given whatever resources they have available to them. I always use the analogy that females, including myself, will try on three of the same exact garment in the same exact size and see which one fits them better. So it's all going to be preference. You want them to tell you. You're not going to tell them what fits them best, because maybe a female that is 5'10 doesn't have to take as many of these things into consideration. So she might just be able to pick up a quote unquote man's gun and it might fit her just fine. But I always, from an instructor's perspective, recommend women, actually not even just women, this is everyone when you're trying to get into the sport, get your hands on as many different models, as many different guns as you can. That's how you're going to figure out whether or not you like a semi-auto or an over-under. And then once you figure that out, which over-under or semi-auto that you like and why.
Okay.
You really just have to pick it up. I wouldn't, like, obviously you want to shoot it before you buy it, but when you pick it up, you kind of really just know if it goes into the right spot on your shoulder or into your cheek. If you're buying a gun and they go, oh, all I have to do is...
Yeah.
Now there's just too many things we're already taking into consideration. Try to get something that right off the shelf is going to be as close to you as possible. Now, if someone, like you had said, a female is just starting shooting and they pick up a maybe a smaller gauged gun, it might proportionately everything actually just fit her and she might not even need a lady specific. But given the resources or the availability, heck yeah, why wouldn't you start in the female direction? If you have the ladies' guns next to all of the regular models next to each other, yeah, start with the ladies' model. Why wouldn't you? Well, you can find out actually if that doesn't work for you.
Yeah, and maybe I should have prefaced that a little bit better. I mean, okay, let's talk about the autos, for instance. So a lady goes out and she wants to stick with an auto because she doesn't want to maybe make the big expenditure for an over-under. So, okay. She's looking at a Beretta auto, she's looking at a Benelli auto, and then it's like, hey, there's the Siren auto. So, I mean, it would almost seem like it would be common sense based on what you're saying with the features, the fit, and everything, you know, taken into mind when they designed that gun for a lady shooter, that it would almost be an automatic, you know, slam dunk, so to speak, for them to go that route versus one of the other, you know, universal fit guns. Okay.
And being an instructor, I like to make that available to my students. The place that I instruct out of, well, the multitude of places that I teach out of have a lot of like Berettas available, Brownings available. Mm-hmm. And I won't even say, I'm not like that. I'm not forcing anything on anyone. I won't even tell them what they're shooting. I'm like, here, mount this. And then if I have a female in particular and I'm like, here, mount this. And it's a Siren. They're like, wait, why does this one feel different? And I'm like, because it's right.
Okay. So it basically sells itself then at that point.
Essentially. It really does. It makes my job very easy.
Well, that's good though. No, that's good. And I mean, for our lady listeners that are getting into shooting and maybe considering a new gun, that's kind of why I was going in that direction, is to let you kind of elaborate a little bit on that. So thank you.
Well, Grace, tell us a little bit about your gun, because you shoot both a regular Caesar Greenie and a Siren. I know you said that you shoot the Siren for sub gauge, which, by the way, a friend of ours, well, friend of the show, Holly, shoots a 28 gauge Siren, and it, well, that's a pretty little gun too.
Yeah.
But tell us about your Caesar Greenie. Tell us about your gun and what you've done to make it more fit for you, if you will.
My Caesar Greenie is going to be the Invictus M spec model Andrew was speaking about earlier. So the claim to 100 million round that I'm aggressively putting to the test. The only thing I did differently, the reason why I went toward the Caesar direction instead of the Siren, was because I know in my head I'm going to inevitably getting a custom stock anyway. Just being a competitor, the 16th or 32nd of an inch actually does make a difference. In the end, at least in my head, it does. So I went down the route of custom stock and then tried to find the model that would work the best in competition, be the most durable and rugged. I'm not necessarily maybe the most graceful. That's why they named me Grace, for my lack of grace. And I might maybe, it gets sometimes a little bit of abuse, and not intentionally, but being now that at my third year, I've never had a pit stop, I've never had a problem, I'm going to say that I think I went with the right model and the right choice with the custom stock, which I did get through Greeny, which was the best decision I've ever made. I, for a long time, had been using a recoil reducer. I think it might have been more of like a Band-Aid or a handicap. I'm going to finish out the year with the stock that I have currently that still has the recoil reducer. But with the right stock, you don't need to have a recoil reducer, which I convinced myself for a really long time that I did need, and I don't. I'm a stubborn Italian-Irish woman. You're not going to tell me. I have to learn the hard way.
Well, Andrew, with all of that being said that Grace just elaborated on, I guess it depends on the level of competition or the level of shooting that a lady is in. Right? Because, like, for instance, in Grace's example, she's going to go with the custom stocks. You can get her into that M spec. But if someone, a lady, is going to just, you know, go out and shoot on the weekends with, you know, the husband or the boyfriend or with her girlfriends or whatever, maybe that off the shelf Siren might be a little bit better fitted for her. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, well, I would tend to think that, generally speaking, a Siren's going to be a better fit for a lady on average than our standard gun, as an example. And something that I think is worth elaborating on, like we touched a little bit on the grip radius being smaller on the Sirens, and I think grip is something that often gets overlooked. Like, one of the key things to any new shooter, be a lady or a man, a new shooter, the more comfortable the gun is for them to shoot, the more they enjoy doing it, the more likely they are to continue.
Right,
and
sure.
I think that it's easy to kind of get into a, well, I'm not sure I'm really going to do this, so I'm going to buy something that's inexpensive in case I don't like it. That way I'm not out so much. But it's almost kind of a cart and a horse thing. At that point, you're almost setting yourself up to not enjoy it because you're going to have either problems with the reliability or you're going to have problems with comfort because it really doesn't quite fit you right. And specifically about grip, if a shooter has a gun and the grip is far too long for them, the natural thing that happens is they're forced to choke up on the wrist, which slides their hand forward so they can reach the trigger. When the hand slides up onto the wrist of the gun and becomes more in a horizontal plane, as we mount the gun, the wrist runs out of travel, so we bring our elbow up to take the strain off of our wrist. Well, when we bring our elbow up, the shoulder rolls the gun toward our face, and now when it recoils, it whacks us in the cheek. So I think it's important when anybody's looking at a gun, whoever they are, that they do take it into account a reasonable amount of fit. We don't have to get into the fine details of everybody needs a custom stock, misrepresent what I'm saying. But I do think it's worthwhile to choose a gun based on the way that it fits and handles. Obviously, price point's a concern. I'm not pretending it's not. But I think it's important to start yourself off with the best possible scenario so as to have the opportunity to really fall in love with the activity.
Gotcha. Right. Does that make sense? Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Grace.
That's when that detriment comes into when you're shooting with your boyfriend, best friend, whatever, and they might not have the right tool and it discourages you. Like, I always encourage, if possible and when possible, the right tools for the right job. Don't hand your 5'2" girlfriend your 12-gauge, 16-inch length of pull and have fun because she's not going to.
Right. Gotcha. Exactly.
And before we get off the subject of the ladies' gun, Grace, here's a loaded question, and you can answer this any way you want to. Is there anything that you would change or make different about your Siren or your Caesar Greenie?
Yeah, I actually just did. He just touched on with grip, for the longest time convinced myself, like I said earlier, this is what I need, right? I was telling myself for some reason I needed like this big palm swell. And Andrew was saying like, you know, like by having the bigger and bigger palm swell, all you're doing is adding tension into your grip. So I just recently kind of slimmed out my palm swell and, oh my gosh, this is going to be first time news. I haven't even announced this to anybody. So I just got a new gun for the next season. And that's what all of the minor changes were made that were in my stock, in addition to what I mentioned earlier with the recoil reducer.
Okay.
Yeah, and she might have a new look too. So eyes open in February when I'm down in Florida with my new bling.
And you chose the dead pair to announce this. We feel very graced.
Graced, yeah, there you go. I see what you did with that.
It's an exciting podcast. We have to have exciting news.
That's right.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Well, Andrew, are we leaving anything out that you would really like to get across to the public that we haven't covered?
There's probably something I'd like to say, but I don't know what it is. No, I think we've covered a lot of information. And I guess the thing I would say, just back to, you know, kind of elaborating about at least what we do and what we offer here, right?
Yeah.
First of all, we really make a concerted effort to offer models and or configurations for any application. And, you know, as I touched on earlier, we have multiple different rib heights and multiple different configurations, if you will, which is separate from the models such as a Summit or a Magnus or so forth. And in conjunction with that, the Siren line was really born out of that recognition of here's a group of people, and quite honestly, there's quite a few men that shoot Siren guns because the dimensions just fit them well. And our goal is to make the best product we can and to help the most people we can. You know, I tell people all the time, I got the best job in the world. I get to play with guns and make people happy.
Right.
And the make people happy part is a big part of it. You know, we want our customers to enjoy what they're doing. We want to be the enablers that let them go have.
Sure.
And so we try to make as many offerings as possible to really fit those niches. You can get as specialized as you want, or you can have a more general approach as a shooter. And, you know, we try to have something for all of those applications.
Gotcha.
Combined with, my job here is I'm a gunsmith.
Right.
And so I enjoy working on guns because I enjoy it. Who wouldn't? And I really get a lot of intrinsic value out of my opportunity to work with our customers and help them achieve whatever it is they're trying to do. Like we travel to shoots through the course of the year. The gunsmiths all take turns attending shoots, so we all get to get out in the world and meet people and visit with them. And, you know, that's a really rewarding thing when either someone has an interest or a need that they want to address or improve their shooting, or, you know, they have a question about, well, if I go to the high rib, what's that going to do for me? That's an enjoyable thing. And or
we can revert to Facebook. For the professional.
right.
Well, and or if someone, you know, has unfortunately has some kind of a problem in an event, at an event that something happens, their guns, for whatever reason, not functioning correctly, I really am happy to be able to help get them back on the line, as it were.
Right.
You know, Grace touched on that a little bit about, you know, being warm and welcoming and open, and really it's just who we are. It's nice to be a part of an organization that approaches things that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was an old saying, this was clear back in the 90s when I was shooting with my dad. He said, look, shotgun manufacturers make guns for everyone that fit no one. And,
right.
You know, I mean, if you think about that statement that he made, I've seen people on a course that are almost 7 foot, and we've got friends of ours that are, let's just say, vertically challenged. And, you know, to grab a gun off the shelf with a standard 14 3/4 length of pull and he put it in both of their hands is kind of ludicrous, right? But the shotgun manufacturers, and especially what you're telling me here with the Caesar Greeny, have kind of stepped up, and they're not just throwing a brand X shotgun in their hands. They're making sure that the customer is happy and fitted to the gun. And it sounds like you guys have really strived to do that. So,
and I've gone through it. I've done the both sides of things, and I have made my stock the Frankenstock and put every tool you can put on the back before I even knew a TSK existed. I did myself the favor of picking up a Siren and a Caesar Greeny and going, oh my gosh, This is what's out here? I had no idea.
Right?
Yeah. Well, and that's certainly a major goal of ours, is to, again, offer something that works for everyone, that offer enough things that can find something that does work for them. And like one additional point to that is everything we make is available in either right or left hand. You mentioned, you know, previously shotgun manufacturers, a lot of them made stocks that were neutral, and the argument being they fit everyone. And
right.
I would agree, they fit everyone poorly.
Right.
So we make everything available in both right or left hand because it matters. You know, it does have bearing on what your experience is with that tool.
Right.
And you know, it's easy to get caught up in the world where, well, if that shotgun doesn't fit you, you may as well not even touch it. I don't fall into that extreme either. I think that there's a middle ground, but it's worthwhile to have things that are at least as close as possible off the shelf for your needs so that you can really progress, endeavor. You know, a quick example to elaborate, or, you know, to waste your time, if it will. My brother's left-handed. I call him wrong-handed. He shot right-handed guns forever. I finally convinced him to buy a left-handed gun about 3 or 4 years ago, and he's like, why did I not do this before?
Yeah. Live and learn, right?
Right.
Yeah. Why not use a screwdriver when you need a screwdriver, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, Andrew, I think we've pretty much touched on everything I can think of. If people want to learn more about Caesar Greeny or Siren, where can they go to do that?
Sure. First and foremost, Greeny USA and or FabArmUSA.com. Siren also, Siren USA. All three of those websites have a myriad information. In addition to that, by all means, if people have questions, they're very welcome to call us here at the shop anytime. The Greeny main line is 410-901-1131. And as I touched on earlier, like, I'm old enough, I've had a lot of jobs, and this company is really a great place to work because of the company culture. Everybody's interested in helping the customer have the best experience.
Gotcha.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful.
Well, now, Grace, I know that Sean and I have a bazillion other questions for you, but I guess we'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. We got something planned for you down the road, right?
Okay, I like it. Yes, we have discussed a little something, something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we don't want, we just want to tease people. We don't want to let them know too much, right?
So we'll dangle.
Dangle that carrot. But no, we're going to be catching up with you real soon, Grace. We're going to have a full podcast with you. But I thought it was important to have you on as a female shooter. And, you know, Siren just is one of those fits with Cesar Guarini, obviously, right? And you were the fit for both. So appreciate you coming on. And Andrew, thank you very much for your time. I know you're a busy individual and appreciate you spending some time with us before you head home.
Yeah, no, I'm very glad I could attend and I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you both very much. We'll be sure.
If his eloquence and knowledge today doesn't let you guys know why we call him the bearded wonder, I don't know what will. If you see him, you'll know what I mean.
Yeah, he did an excellent job. I mean, he definitely covered a lot of ground.
You. Yes, yes, very much so. And, of course, thank you for gracing us with your presence, Grace.
Oh, boy. All right. We got to cut him off.
Yeah. I could do this. I'll be here all night. So.
Yeah, I bet you would.
If anybody wants to give me a shout out, I do need to afford to do all of these shoots, and I do have a website that promotes my instruction. If anybody wants to check out GraceCallahanLLC.com, I would love that.
Heck yeah.
There you go.
Heck yeah.
Well, listen,
and
we're going
to put... Can I plug my older brother, too, or am I not allowed to do that?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I got an awesome older brother that he's involved in firearms in a completely different discipline. He does 3-gun. So he will train you in competition. He trains law enforcement, the military, government. He does everything. So if you need anything that's not shotguns, pretty much... CallahanTrainingGroup.com. He's
man, that's like the family package right there, you know.
It is. We're rooting, tooting, shooting fam.
If it's got a trigger, the Callahans can help you.
There right.
You
go. Yes.
That's awesome.
So, but no, we're going to dive real deep into all this, Grace. I promise you.
I'm looking forward to it, my friends.
But we are going to definitely, we'll make sure and put all your links at the bottom of the description page. So if anybody, if Grace rattled that off a little quick or you weren't able to hear Andrew, they're going to be right down at the bottom of the page here in the description. So Grace will catch up with you soon. Andrew, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Pleasure's all mine.
Yeah, thank you both for coming on. It was really a great podcast. Thank you.
Thanks for what you guys do with the sport. It's really awesome that you guys break it down from the bottom up.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, y'all have a good evening, and we will be talking soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend.
All right, we'll see y'all.
Thanks a bunch.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
You know, Sean, that was a really cool take from Cesar Guarini and from Grace. It's interesting because, you know, obviously, we're not female shooters. So it's really cool to get her perspective and the different variations in the guns, and hopefully it helped people.
Yeah, and we've been seeing a lot more ladies on the course, and a lot of couples are shooting. And, you know, like what she said, depending on your build, and even with women, there's a lot of differences. Some girls could probably use a standard gun, okay.
Right.
But maybe a smaller lady or just one that's built a little bit differently might feel much better in the Siren, which is a dedicated ladies gun versus, you know, more standard.
And props to what Andrew said, the Siren doesn't necessarily have to be a quote unquote ladies gun. It's not like it's all pink or something, you know?
Right.
And you know who I'm talking about. We know some shooters here locally that gun would probably be a good fit for them.
Sure. Maybe even a youth, maybe even a small youth or something would benefit from a Siren. But, you know, they're definitely marketing towards the lady shooter. I mean, they're right. Definitely pushing that angle. But I mean, that company's got, you know, Cesar Guarini, Fab Arm, and Siren. So they've got a pretty mixed bag, almost like a Beretta, where you've got almost like a one size can do anything.
You're nailing every corner of the market.
Right. So. Exactly. So that was definitely some interesting stuff. And it was nice to learn a little bit about their product offerings and the differences in their shotguns.
Well, as of this recording, I think the night shoot, switching gears for a minute, the night shoot at Cardinal, the Pilgrims shoot at night is up to like 240.
Yeah.
Right now, which is huge. I mean, we're talking about a tournament in November in Ohio at night.
I'm trying to remember last year. Do you remember what the shoot total was last year? It was like around...
It was over 300.
Was it over 300 last year? And I remember the weather was beautiful, so that definitely had to help the
cause.
But
I mean, we're still
about a month and a half.
We're about a month and a week out from that shoot, so there's still time. And I think Jake said there's still some room.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they ran over 300 shooters last year, so.
If you can make it, I mean, it's definitely something that you want to do.
Yeah,
it's neat to see targets at night. If you've never shot them, it's way
different. There's some big names coming.
Oh yeah,
and possibly even maybe hopefully Grace, we just talked to.
Right,
she's looking at coming over. And by the way, folks, we are going to do an entire episode with Grace. She deserves her own episode. The girl's a phenomenal shooter.
Absolutely.
I mean, when she's knocking on the door at the top against the big guys, you know, I mean, so we're going to have her on for a full episode.
And what a great, happy personality. I mean, she's just a joy to talk to.
I'm telling you right now, I have never cracked up laughing texting with someone. When we were trying to schedule for this show and get Andrew and, you know, his schedule figured out, Grace and I would text back and forth, and she is just a hoot.
Yeah.
That girl's hilarious. Yep. I mean, what a! I wish I could be that happy all the time.
Right.
You know? But good on her. She's a good shooter, and she's a delightful person. So, night shoot. Okay. Before that is the Nationals.
Yeah, just a small little shoot.
A little shoot coming.
Little tiny
shoot coming up. We got some big things planned for that too.
Yeah.
So, lots of fun.
Stay tuned.
Yes. In the meantime. Thank you very, very much to Negrini Cases, Game Boar, KO Ammo, Atlas Traps, RE Ranger, Bear Pelt, and Rhino Chokes. And don't forget, at Negrini, all one word, Dead Pair at checkout. It's going to save you on your order plus shipping.
Yep.
RE Ranger, and I just had someone contact me the other day. The code is actually Dead Pair, no caps, all one word. He couldn't figure out, he could not make the discount code work. He said he put it all in as one word and it worked just fine. But check out those in the React. Now, Sean, you are new to the React lenses.
I was just getting ready to say, I shot my first tournament last weekend in them. Incredible lenses. I mean, they really are different, and I couldn't believe how much they pop the color. I'm glad I was waiting to get those from Sarah. Hey, big shout out to you, Sarah. Thank you so much for sending those along. They're going to get a lot of use from me.
Yeah. Yeah, and they actually made his meathead look a little better.
So. Well, I mean, you know, you can only go so far with his face, so, you know, it is what it is.
And Rhino Chokes, Mr. Alley, is waiting on your barrels.
Yeah, so I've been trying to play phone tag with Jody, and just between the shoot schedule and my work schedule and everything else, have not been able to get my barrels shipped down to them with enough time to get them back for all the obligations I have in the shooting world. So I'm just going to basically take it down to the Nationals, and they're going to do it for me down there.
So to clarify, it wasn't their schedule. It was your schedule that was a holdup.
Yeah, partly that. It's just...
This is just like your tournament scores is nobody else's fault but yours.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Jeez, I can't win for losing.
Right? So, hey, listen, you know what? You give me the same amount of crap, so...
I just don't do it as openly. You're just good at that. You excel at that.
It's not like we're on a podcast where the whole world's going
to
hear
it. I know, so. Right? Yeah, everybody walks up to me and like, how do you deal with him on a day-to-day basis? Like, well, you know, a couple bourbons never helps to smooth out the nerves.
Come on now. Would you have me any other way?
Do I have a choice?
I'll edit that.
I literally have a choice?
I'll edit that question out.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
Well, thanks again for everybody tuning in. Another great episode. I mean, I definitely, hopefully, this helps some people out if they're on the fence or interested in a Caesar Greenie or a Fab Arm or even a Siren if you're a lady shooter. A lot of great information on this podcast. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I hope they at least check them out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's free to go up to them and talk to them, handle the gun. I bet you they'll let you go out and try the gun.
Yep.
And see if it is a fit for you.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's our whole point. We're trying to get as much information out to all of you shooters as possible. Unbiased opinions. We're trying to get everybody on here so everybody has a fair shake on the Dead Pair podcast. We're not biased one way or the other. Well, some of us are a little Kohler-centric, but we won't name names, will we, Jason?
It's just like Atlas Traps, baby. You got to, if you're going to be American, you got to buy American.
Okay. All right. Well, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole again. Uh-huh. But no, otherwise, stay tuned. Definitely a lot more stuff coming from the Dead Pair, and hopefully you guys will all enjoy it.
I think the day that this releases, there might be time. There might be time, if you hear this in the morning, to get your questions for the coaches in. We will have Bill Elliott on.
Yeah.
For the next round of coaches.
It's been a while since we've had Bill back on the show.
Actually, no. There is time because he won't be back next week. It's the following. So Bill Elliott will be on the following week. Please send us your questions for the coaches. You can email them to us. You can direct message them either way, Facebook or Instagram. Send us your questions. Bill's excited. I just talked to him here a little bit ago. He's excited to come back on the show. It's been a little while.
Well, he's a busy guy.
Yes.
Let's face it. He's got many, many irons in that fire. So.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel for the guy. I know where he's at.
And so. A family and little kids at home. And man, woo, it's a lot going on.
Full schedule. So
yeah.
But hey, take someone new shooting and take someone to a tournament.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, hopefully we just released the Sporting Clays 101 episode. And I know Jason's rolling his eyes. Now, listen, the reason we did that, it's not necessarily for the experienced shooter, although there's probably, you know, some listening pleasure there. But we've had so many questions, so many emails, so many texts about people that I think are hesitant to go to their first tournament because they don't know the procedure. They don't know the protocols. They don't know,
right,
you know, what they need to do. And hopefully that puts some people's mind at ease. It's not that big of a deal. We're basically giving you a cheat sheet.
Right.
And pretty much follow that. I think you're going to be okay.
I can attest for that. We've been bombarded with emails to do that. And
well, and that's our whole premise, man. We wanted to get more people into shooting. I mean, that's why we're doing this.
Right.
We want to see this sport grow.
Yes.
And it's only going to grow if people are comfortable enough to sign up, start shooting register targets, and have as much fun as we're having.
Yes, absolutely. And if you guys have an idea, just like that show, that show was built on the flood of emails and messages that we got to do that show. If you guys have an idea, if you think there's someone we're missing or someone we haven't gotten to yet, now don't get me wrong, we've got a full schedule ahead of us.
Or a topic that maybe you feel we haven't covered enough in depth.
Right.
Drop us a line.
But like I say, we do have a full schedule ahead of us. However, we will take your ideas to heart, and it actually takes us about a month to a month and a half to put one show together because of the phone calls and the research and everything.
Scheduling the meeting, the phone call. Yeah, it's a lot. I don't think we'll have any idea how to. It's like herding cats sometimes is my favorite saying. It's a lot to just try to get everybody on the same page at the same time and make it all come together so we can bring this to you.
But don't hesitate to get a hold of us, though.
No, not at all.
We love hearing from people anyway.
Not at all.
But until next week, Mr. Alley.
We'll see you all back here on the Dead Pair Podcast.